Look at miracles in American history, and this is a more maybe a miracle that is maybe overlooked, especially by secular historians, but something that we should know as Christians and Baptists. And in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 2, there's a verse. The prophet Habakkuk says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." That phrase, "in wrath, remember mercy." And this morning we want to look at, as I said, a kind of a clear act of God's providence in American history. And that is the revivals. We're going to jump ahead. We've been talking about the War of 1812. We finished that. We're going to jump ahead a couple of decades into the Civil War. And we're going to talk this morning about the revivals that spread through the armies of both the North and the Southern and the South during the Civil War. And there may not be a better illustration of God's sovereignty than seeing what the Holy Spirit did in producing a revival in both of these armies during this terrible, terrible time. One historian said this. He said, "In the midst of the United States Civil War, a titanic struggle for the souls of men was being waged. If war reveals the greatest evils that man's heart can devise, it also can provide a rich harvest for the saving grace of God." Most of the information we know about the revivals in the war come from the personal observations of one man, John William Jones. And we're going to tell his story this morning and the story that he told and would tell for history. John William Jones was a young man who had his plans radically changed or altered as he sought to serve the Lord. After he finished college at the University of Virginia, he attended seminary at the Southern Baptist Seminary in South Carolina. In 1861, he applied to be a missionary to China as a Baptist missionary, but the Civil War broke out 1 month later, and they told him he couldn't go to China. On June 8, 1861, he enlisted in the 13th Virginia Army under General A.P. Hill, and within a few months, he was made chaplain of the regiment, and there he was discovered by General Stonewall Jackson. Now, just a brief talk about the Confederate armies and who led them. The Confederate Army was led by two devout Christian men, General Jackson, as I mentioned, and Robert E. Lee. And Jackson made Jones primarily responsible for recruiting Baptist ministers into the Confederate Army as chaplains, primarily because of Jackson's leadership and supplying these chaplains to the troops. He said this to Jones. He said he wanted to make sure, this is very interesting, and Jones attributes maybe the success of the revivals to this that Jackson pointed out. Jackson said he wanted to make sure the chaplains were saved. He knew that many ministers weren't, and they knew how to preach the gospel very clearly. And those were the two things that he told Jones as he recruited men into the chaplaincy. And because of this, Jones said, a tremendous revival swept through the Southern ranks, and only eternity will probably fully reveal what he accomplished because he was willing to accept this reassignment from the Lord. And amazingly, during that tragic struggle between the states, the Lord moved in the salvation of tens of thousands of men on both sides of the war. Jones said this of Jackson. He said, "More than almost any man I've ever met, he accepted fully the precious promises of God's word. He walked by a living faith in Jesus and was guided by the star of hope as he trod firmly the path of duty." There weren't many reports of revival in the early parts of the war. The Southern armies in early parts of the war were almost invincible for the first almost 2 years of the war. And maybe this self-sufficiency may have been, you know, maybe this was the reason that the Lord couldn't work on people's hearts because of their pride. The Confederacy was on a tear, and they didn't need what the faithful chaplains were preaching to them. But on September 17th, 1862, about a year and a half into the war, Lee's Army of Northern Virginia retreated in its first meaningful defeat at the Battle of Antietam. This was really the first victory by the North of any significance. And he retreated back into Virginia And it was there that the soldiers bowed their knees in humility. And Jones said, this is what opened the windows of heaven for a powerful revival. General Lee helped to shape this mindset by issuing this general order in 1863. He stated, soldiers, we have sinned against Almighty God, and we've relied too much on our own arms for the achievement of our independence. And this general order was felt throughout all levels of the army, from the lowliest privates to the chaplains to the generals, as fear of God's punishment as it reverberated down through the troops because of Lee's declaration. So beginning that fall and almost all of 1863, an event that is called now the Great Revival was in full progress through the armies of the Northern Virginia, which is the Confederate Army. Jones began to chronicle this story, or the story of this great revival, in a book that he would title Christ in the Camp. And tens of thousands were converted and baptized. Jones would write that up to January of 1865, and these numbers are kind of astounding, up to January of 1865, nearly 150,000 soldiers personally trusted Christ as their Savior during the progress of the war. Nearly one-third of the entire army met regularly for prayer. And there are a lot of critics that have tried to, you know, pan those numbers and say that's an exaggeration. But from all available records, from all accounts, it seems that these numbers are exactly correct. These numbers just concern the armies of the Confederacy. At the same time, God was moving in the armies of the North and the Union. And the numbers are smaller in number, the estimates are smaller, but they still show a tremendous working of the Holy Spirit in the armies of the North. The chaplains, for their part, worked in a very, very difficult situation, as you can imagine. Many of them were killed during the battles as they ministered to the men and took up arms and fought during the battles alongside them. Many, many were wounded. They continued to preach and work with the soldiers under their care. The stories are kind of amazing of how the chaplains worked among the soldiers, you know, during the raw parts of the war. After the war, it seemed that the Union had maybe different agendas, and it did not, those conversions didn't seem to convert into renewed church attendance and maybe more Christian way of life. But in the South, Jones wrote, on the other hand, he said, little seemed to be left except religion. For many years after the end of the war, after Appomattox, Southern Christians spoke of the spiritual benefits they had gained through adversity, through the war. Temporal prosperity made men and women arrogant and seduced them into believing they did not need God, he said. And the South's hardship, on the other hand, taught forbearance and Christian humility. He described how the post-war growth of the next 75 years in the churches was a direct result of the revivals during the war. So Christ in the Camp is a eyewitness account of God's sweeping revival through the armies of the Confederacy during the Civil War. Only eternity will reveal the good that this obscure Baptist preacher accomplished as he was willing to accept the call, this change of a call from God, and join the armies and as a chaplain. I would recommend this book to you. Some of you have read this, and this is available in our bookstore. This is a fun book to read. If you're interested in history at all in the Civil War, this is a fascinating book, and I would recommend it to you, Christ in the Camp. I would say, I've said this before, that as you read this book, be prepared to have what you believe about the Civil War challenged. Remember that much of what we've been taught about the Civil War is wrong. History has changed over the last 150 years. And here's an eyewitness account of what exactly happened. And so I would challenge you to read it. You might find it very interesting, and be prepared to be challenged by what you read. And we'll thank the Lord for this, as Habakkuk said, for remembering mercy in the midst of wrath, and this great miracle that would change the character of the entire nation for many decades, the revivals during the Civil War.